Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Open minds. We might just be in France. This is global. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Yo, 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 what's up? I am Monkey.
And I'm Heath.
And this is Football Inside Out, a podcast from Copper 90. We're coming to you every day from the Copa 90 Clubhouse in Lyon, bringing you the excitement from the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. And you can find us at the bar Super 5, screening all the remaining games. Don't forget as well, hit that subscribe button and make sure you never miss an episode.
And coming up today, we hear from Manchester City and Germany forward Paulina Bremer, who popped into the clubhouse and shared some wisdom with us. But before that, here are the five things you need to know going into your day.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Number one, no beer.
No beer.
Zero beer, mate.
That is the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, no beer at the final of the game or at any of the games, I've heard.
Yeah.
And how we've only just discovered this. I thought people were drinking beer this whole time. It's non-alcoholic.
Well, sometimes in stadiums, you have different stands that serve, like, they're different vendors,
yeah,
right? So I was in a line in Paris, and I was asking the team, like, who wanted a beer, got a few beer requests, went to buy it, realized it was just the Coca-Cola line. I was like, okay, I get it. I was in the wrong line. I'm already too deep into this. Sorry, no beer. But I didn't really process that there wasn't beer. Then I went from hospitality down to other seats with a thing of wine, and somebody's like, where did you get that wine? And they'd said it in a way that, like, I should have looking back, I realized that,
like,
they were in
Jesus.
Like, yeah, they were like, they're like, it was a revelation, you know. But yeah, crazy.
Yeah,
I'm
no
so that's one, it's really messed up.
It's messed up.
People traveled all over the world, like, let them have a good time.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
If their good time requires beer,
I don't understand why the what the reason was that, why they decided to do that.
Yeah, we'll have to get to the bottom of that because it's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
But I would assume most travelers knew that, right? When they were, like, booking their packages, you would think that they would know.
I don't know. I didn't. I bought some tickets through, like, you know, normal ways, and there wasn't, like, a warning. There should be a big warning.
But you were already here.
No,
like, you didn't plan a trip to come here as a fan. You were already here.
I planned a trip to come here to drink a bit.
That's also fit.
That game is a fact.
Number two, Chelsea have appointed former midfielder Frank Lampard.
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 He's a
Lampard.
I like that the caption says former midfielder, you know, like, not anymore.
Not anymore.
He's just the person who coaches now, but he used to be a midfielder. Oh, the former Derby County boss has signed a 3-year deal at Stamford Bridge.
That is crazy.
Huge for the fan base.
Yeah, I mean,
but it puts a lot of pressure on him.
A lot of pressure, isn't it? And what Derby's, the biggest job he's had. I mean, he did an amazing job.
Right.
Almost coming up against Aston Villa. I think that's who they played.
It's a pretty good run for a young manager.
That. I was at the game. yeah, I know. But I just... when you see an ex-legend player come into a club to be a manager, it's very rarely that they do well.
Well, Thierry Henry did that at Monaco, and he had started his career essentially at Monaco, and that did not go well.
He got sacked
and it's over.
After like 6 months.
And I thought that would, like, hurt his reputation or something like that, and maybe it has as a manager, but also, like, Chelsea's notoriously unstable with managers. So hopefully he gets, like, at least some sort of peaking start, or they're finally looking to change the method at Chelsea and saying, just like they did at Liverpool, let's get a manager in that we believe in, that believes in the philosophy here, that we're willing to build around so we can create some more stability and consistency instead of it being like like peaks and valleys.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be crazy not to take it, but it's going to be hard. The weird thing about it is I like Frank Lampard and I want him to do well, but I don't want Chelsea to do well, so yeah. I'm very torn. Number three.
Yes.
Peru defeated Chile 3-0 to secure their place in the Copa America final for the first time since 1975.
Yeah, I mean, Chile had been the dominant ones of this tournament, right? They're the ones that beat Argentina in the last two finals. Mm-hmm. And so it's a shame to not see them in a final, especially against Brazil, because yeah. they're like sort of the current kings of this tournament. It's in Brazil. But Peru...
That's a big loss, too. That's not like a
yeah, no.
scraped that's it a, by. That's a, like a tidy win.
It's a domination.
Yeah.
Yeah. I traveled with Peruvian fans to Russia last year. Mm-hmm. Really, really fun. I also went to a Peru versus Iceland match. Super, yeah. super niche. In New York.
Yeah.
And it was just like all Peruvians. 100% stadium was full of Peruvians. And it was just a really, really cool atmosphere. So I'm happy for them to reach a final.
That would be a good final.
Yeah. Number four, Atletico Madrid have signed Portuguese forward João Felix from Benfica for a fee of £115 million, which makes the 19-year-old the fifth most expensive teenager in history. I thought we were past this era.
He's 19.
And say he gets 15% of it, like as a sign-on fee, he is now really rich.
He was born in 2000.
Yeah.
Can we just point that out?
But he is supposed to be the next phenom.
Millennials.
Gen Z.
Man, that's crazy.
That's almost not Gen Z. When did it become? What's the next thing?
Is that what that era is?
The world won't be. Gen Z is going to ruin it for everyone anyway. So, like, the world probably won't be here. So, you don't have to know what the next era. Gen Z are the worst. And finally, number five, the U.S. celebrated a 4th of July win by defeating Jamaica 3-1 in the Gold Cup semifinal. They will now play Mexico on July 7th, which we all know is the same day as the final, which is the same day of the Copa America final, which is ridiculous that we've scheduled three games. Now, day of football, great. But like for allowing the World Cup to have its own day and its own stage,
rubbish.
Really messed up. And the reason I say it was a 4th of July win, by the way, was because there was a 90-minute delay during the match that pushed the game well into the 4th of July.
Do you think they did that on purpose?
Of course. We're America. Mexico got to the final in controversial fashion and we had to remind them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's America
it's
Day.
It's our day.
Yeah. We're going to extend it into another one.
And those are the five things you need to know going into your day.
This is Copa 90.
What's up, bro?
Just... trying to still wrap my head around this no beer thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't even really drink beer, to be honest with you.
I'm not a massive drinker, but I wouldn't mind one now and again.
I've gotten into these beers called sours.
Oh, I love sour beers. Yeah. It's very hipster of us.
It is, but I'm a wine drinker, so they were like, get into it via the sours. And while if you have more than one, you suffer from extreme acid reflux for like a week.
Yeah.
They are delicious.
They are very nice.
I know the hipster thing right now is just a good micro IPA. Brewery IPA, yeah. right? Because the first thing I did, I went to a coffee shop here, met a guy who knew a person that I knew, and his friend who owns a beer bar here. It's like a micro beer bar where it's like the taps are all in silver on the wall.
Like a micro brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And vibes. He was like, oh, American. And then I heard him saying something in French I didn't understand, and he said micro beer, micro brew. And then all of a sudden he translated into English that
they're
he owns
like
a
small
bar.
Batches yeah. of
just
beer.
Really stereotyping me as an American. That he's like, oh, American. Micro beer, micro brewery.
Yeah, and I then, do. I like a fancy beer.
Yeah.
Like I'm not really like a Foster's sort of Stella.
Are you a casual beer drinker? Like, do you get home after a long day and go like, I could really use a bevy from the fridge?
Very occasionally, I might do that on like a summer's day or something. I might have like a beer, but just like one. But actually, I haven't done that in a long time. So
the only thing really. I really enjoy of a beer, of like a not great beer, is the sound in the summertime of the
Like it's satisfying.
That just sounds like summer to me.
You know what smells like summer to me? Dark fruit Strongbow.
Yeah.
It's like a really rubbish cider that you get in a can that I can guarantee every British person, if they've been to a festival, has had a sip at one at one point while listening to some kind of music in a field wearing wellies. Wellington boots. Do you call them Wellington boots?
Never heard of either of those things.
Wellies?
What are wellies? What's a Wellington boot?
Like a rain boot.
Okay.
Yeah, like a rain boot. What do you call them?
Rain boots?
You call them rain boots?
Yeah.
Like the green ones, yeah?
Yeah, like Paddington wears.
Like yeah, like
bear.
Paddington Bear, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wellies. We call them wellies.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is Wellington a brand?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Is Wellington a place?
Wellington is a place.
Where it rains a lot, perhaps?
I mean, it rains everywhere in the UK all the time. But maybe they invented them there. I don't know.
We're doing a little investigative journalism right now.
It's really important.
We don't have the answer, but we're well on our way to somebody who's listening, sending us that answer. That's how you solve problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it out there, people solve it for you. Then we just get to chill. They get to do the work.
Is Copa named after the boot?
It's named after the cup.
After the cup. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
And 90 would be the minutes played.
Right.
In a match.
Okay, that makes
sense. It'd be weird to be 90 plus stoppage.
Yeah.
Copa 90 plus stoppage.
Or you know, if it was this year, 90 minutes plus 7. I feel like every game has been plus 7 minutes.
Copa 90 plus VAR.
Plus VAR.
That'd be a lot to like search for. Like as a name.
As a name. We should get sponsored by VAR.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? You can watch us back.
Yeah. That would be a great segment. Just the VAR.
What would just be all the outtakes?
Well, that could be the fact-checking one segment where it's like one of us has to tell a story. We each tell a story. One of them is untrue. And then at the end, VAR comes back in.
Corrects it.
Producer Lucy says,
she goes like this.
Turns out you were lying. Yeah.
Yeah. She does the little
the hand visual.
Symbol.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that would just be the whole podcast. You're all talking crap. You're talking crap for the whole thing.
What if in the future of VAR, we're not using screens anymore? So the visual of the screen, the rectangular hand signal would make sense to people. Like the future, they're looking at it and somebody does that and they're like, what's that? Because screens are like projected three-dimensionally into like, you know, get with me here, guys. I've had a lot of coffee this week.
I know. I was like, geez. I don't know. I have no idea.
Did that throw you off?
You did
a little existentialism in the morning. You know what I mean?
Off.
Where are we going with this? Gen Z's are ruining Earth. Now I've brought up the fact that TVs won't exist soon.
Like, actually, the Earth is flat. So.
Yeah. I know we talked about it, but I don't think we discussed it of that team in Spain that's renamed their team to Flat Earth FC.
That is crazy.
Out of support for the Flat Earth movement.
How big is this team? Is this just like a load of Wallies like down the park every Sunday?
Is a Wally different than a Welly?
Yeah.
Because you're just saying a lot of like names that like I'm very confused, and I'm gonna end up seeing somebody in the street going like, I like your Wallies, and they're gonna be like, what?
What is that? A Wally is like just a bit of a fool, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're Wally.
There's a lot of things that I found out yesterday. I'm not going to say them on here that are apparently derogatory terms. you can say that I've been watching too many kind of British movies or other movies around the world that you say casually because they're great one-liners that are not actually okay to say regularly because they're offensive.
Yeah, not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I said something to... I called myself Oriental to an American. And that's
they were offended by you calling yourself.
just
whoa.
Just to point out to listeners who don't know, I'm half Filipino, and like I don't know, that's just not a thing in the UK. Like there's not a, but apparently it's offensive because it's
the
like
Orient
objects.
Was at one point a very large region of the world.
I mean, sure,
yeah,
but I still don't find it offensive.
Well, I think you can call yourself anything you want.
I mean, yeah, I can do that.
And you have...
But it's like they got offended that I was calling myself that.
Yeah.
They weren't... They were white.
Yeah. What did they say?
They were like, oh. And I was like, oh, yeah. I remembered. I was like, oh, yeah, that's not really... You can't really say that in the States.
Yeah. You can say that.
I mean, you can say it.
Like...
But like people find it offensive.
Yeah, I think obviously there's a lot of sort of like the... migrant history has sort of seen that or like that term in a very negative connotation in the US. And it's just not something that anybody ever said because you were taught from a young age.
Just not to.
Not to say it. Also because like Oriental was a regional aspect of like, it'd be like saying North American and then suggesting that like Mexicans and Americans have the same history of some kind.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
It's like, Oriental would be is a region of the world, but it wouldn't suggest cultural, like because there's tons of languages, tons of histories. Everybody, you know what I mean? Like it's like you saying that would it's the same as like saying, you know, Japanese people and Chinese people are the same.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my friend who's half Japanese from the States, she finds it offensive. We play on the same team together because I had this conversation with her and I was like, do you find that offensive? But she's lived in the UK for a couple of years, I think. And she was like, yeah, totally. And I was like, oh, that's so f- funny. Like, I don't, obviously I didn't call her out on it. I was just interested to see if she did.
Yeah.
And she totally does. Turns out she totally does. I have a hair question for you.
Yeah. You're not the first person.
Yep. You know? Heath's got some lovely long locks.
Yeah.
How long has this been growing?
Maybe a year and a half, year.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. Not too long.
Did you ever play with really long hair?
Yeah, I went through some phases. Let's just say that every haircut that David Beckham had, I had at one point in my career.
Oh, really?
I had the culturally appropriated cornrows during the time that, like, if I did that now, get in trouble for sure. I've learned a lot since then. I never had any dreadlocks, though. I never, like, dreadlocked my hair because...
He didn't have dreadlocks.
No, he didn't either. But, like, I had everything from, like, shaved my head on like a two
razor
to like long hair to the samurai, you know, with the bun on top or like the tie on top and the, that's probably offensive too. But like.
Is a bun offensive? Like a,
no, the samurai.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that haircut is called the samurai.
Hipster samurai.
Yeah. And then, yeah, everything, everything.
What about didn't you have like a mohawk sort of thing? Like a little mohawk at one point. Did you ever have that?
Not quite as like spiky as that. I wasn't really a big gel or
gel
like
guy.
Wax person.
Yeah.
It was just like the hair was just going to be on my head, especially most of the time on match days. I was just too lazy.
The hair
I was like,
be on your head.
I had good intentions of like having my hair well put together, but then like the day of a match would come and I'd be like, ah, can't be bothered.
I remember when David Beckham got that little mohawk and I think, I can't remember which shirt it was now, but I remember all the boys at school during the summer holidays all suddenly got the David Beckham mohawk.
Yeah.
And would dye it red sometimes.
Well, he was like, he made everything appropriate, right? Like mohawks were a really punk, like crust punk anti whatever thing in the US for a long time that you only did that if you're you're making a statement. The same way that like tattoos were at a certain point connected or like had these connotations of like gang life or violence or you know, it's like the propaganda of like history has created all these like in the same way that they did with this like the, you know, marijuana, for example, and all these types of things were like at a certain point connected with a certain people that were negative. And I remember even when I moved to Europe, I saw people with like full sleeve tattoos and I was like, whoa, like stay away from them. They must be dangerous, you know? And it would be like people like, no, it's just like art. And then all that now you're seeing like people just want to design or like curate their life via a story or they just want tattoos. You know, it's like doesn't have a negative.
It was kind of a big deal sometimes when he got his haircut. Like Alex Ferguson really kicked up a fuss a couple of times, didn't he? When he had some outlandish hairdos.
People go nuts for it, right? Like it's a big talking point. This is a trendsetter and it's also a distraction, right? Everything he did created like buzz.
When you look back at it, actually, when it was like in the newspaper, like David Beckham got his haircut, it's like a big deal because it's like against regulations or whatever.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares? Now you look back at it and you're just like, why did anyone care? Like people pulling out like props to celebrate now. That's like the new, we can't do that.
Yeah, like, but he was, like, he paved the way for a lot of things. So, like, he had crazy hair all the time. He was one of the first to switch to, like, white boots when white boots became a thing. Otherwise, it was only, like, number 10s in history that got to wear anything but, like, boots. Then things became more colorful through him. Like, he had, like, $1 billion Adidas contract. Like, he was the most marketable person in the history of the game. Like more marketable than Ronaldo or Messi.
He put up I think it was either today, yesterday or a couple of days ago, he put up like an Instagram post. Like very occasionally he'll put up Instagram posts of like him and Posh from like 10 years ago. Some of those outfits, man.
Yeah.
They're killer. There's one, they're both wearing all purple, but like a really sort of deep purple. He's wearing like a purple suit, she's wearing a purple dress, and then they're holding a baby. I'm assuming it's Brooklyn, I think, who's the oldest one, I don't know, and the baby is wearing all purple and is also wearing a purple cowboy hat.
It's amazing as you do.
We're like,
you
what, know what I mean? When did they dress up? And they were like, they looked in the mirror like, this is a really good idea.
Well, he also wore a sari before, like he had quite a run of like over the top outfits. But it caused, like, he's literally a marketing machine. Everything he's ever done since those two got together has like created global conversations.
It's a business.
It. Yeah.
It's a business. Are you going to go to a Miami game when that happens, when his football team starts up? I'd be interested. I've already seen people with Miami t-shirts.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because like this is a club that doesn't even exist yet and they've got fans, which is nuts to me.
Yeah, I think there's something about that in the US marketplace of our insecurity over time of not having history, right?
Right.
So if somebody's a Miami resident and they've been waiting for, so there used to be the Miami Fusion that played in MLS way, they were like one of the early clubs and they folded. They had a Tampa team as mm-hmm. well, folded. Like Florida has been notorious for being one of the biggest hotbeds for youth soccer mm-hmm. in the country, but for professional sports has always struggled on the soccer, on the football front. So, yeah. For them to come back now where the league is and the bar is being set so high for like sports and fans and like the way Atlanta did like 47,000. Now they play like 60 or 70,000 every match. Like mm-hmm. they're in their third season. Like Miami's doing the same thing and people want to be part of that first part of history so that someday when the league is 30 years down the road, you are part of something. You are part of building something. And there's something to that, especially for like, the US, because so many people are like a diaspora of like whatever, or they're like 100, they're like 10th generation American now, where they don't have like an identity or whatever to a place. Those things start to create a connection, an identity with a location and a place and a history that you can pass on, even if it's just sports.
Yeah.
It's tribal.
I feel like in the States, fans will come on board a lot quicker for a new club than they would in like the UK. And it's kind of cool. I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
But in the UK, it's just like, it takes a while because there's when it comes to football, there's so many teams to like choose from. And usually it's ingrained in your history, like in your family. So if you like support a club, you know, the likelihood of your family supporting that club for like years and years and years is probably true.
Right.
Whereas if, also America's so big, man.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, yeah. You wouldn't get a team otherwise.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
You know? And if you're a football fan and like you go to Miami and you have such a large like multicultural Caribbean, South American, Central American population, like football's in their DNA. They've just not had a local team to support, right? Which is why they had like El Clasico in Miami during the mm-hmm. summer tournaments that had like sold out overnight or within a few minutes. You had big matches from like South American teams come and play there. There's like friendly matches. They're trying to take like La Liga games to that place because of its like connections to like Hispanic culture mm-hmm. and La Liga, where it's like some of the largest viewership will come out of Florida. So I think for people to have a local team that they can get behind is a great thing. And it's just a matter of like how you connect with that community at that point to keep that going, because they had it before and it failed. Yeah. LA had Chivas and it failed, but now they have LAFC and it's connecting with the community in the right way and listening to that community who's giving them like regular suggestions on how you can entertain them or include them in your decision making. So
has it been announced yet who's got the new spot for MLS? Who's going up for it? Detroit and,
well, there's Sacramento, Detroit, yeah. St. Louis. So next year will be Nashville.
Right.
Nash Vegas. I heard that's gonna be a great like place for a team.
For a club.
But you're running on like you're gonna go towards like almost 40 teams. Like I don't see where it stops, because if you're at Nashville, Miami, then you're going to definitely have Sacramento in there because they have a great fan base.
Right.
Then you have maybe Detroit, St. Louis, North Carolina is also launching a bid. Like,
that's it. Yeah, North Carolina.
It's a lot of different people trying to get into the league now.
I can see North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina have a great women's university.
Yeah, and the owner is the guy who owns the Carolina Panthers. And I think he's putting together a group of people that are like, this is North Carolina traditionally at university level and whatever is like another hotbed of soccer. So I could see why they think it would be successful there.
We have to get into a chat now that we had with Paulina Bremer. She stopped by the clubhouse a few days ago and I had a little chat with her and here's what she had to say.
This is Copper 90.
Hi, I'm Paulina Bremer. I'm from Germany. I play for Manchester City right now. And I'm here at the World Cup to see the games. I'm not here as a player because I wasn't in the Germany squad, but I still like to travel around. I played in Lyon, so it's always nice to come back here and to the city and just watch the games and feel the atmosphere.
So you mentioned that obviously you used to play in Lyon in France. What's it been like coming back as like a tourist instead of a work thing?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I have so many memories in these 2 years here, and they're all very positive. And I love playing here and living here in the city. It's a really nice city, so it's always good to come back.
And your French is okay too, I just heard it. So you haven't got rusty on the French. How's the tournament been for you so far? Have you been watching it all the way from the start to the end? Have you been in France the whole time?
No, I only have been to the first game in Paris.
Okay.
And then I watched it from home or from my holidays because it was my summer break, so I needed to take some time away from football as well. So I watched most of the game on the telly, especially the Germany games, of course, but also the other big games. And yeah, I think it's been a great tournament so far. I mean, some really exciting games.
How was the opening game for you? I went to the opening game as well, and I felt it was like, I'd never been to an opening game of a Women's World Cup before, and I felt like it was like quite emotional for a lot of people because there were so many young girls and it was such a big stage.
Yeah, it was massive. I mean, the stadium was great. It's 45,000 people. That's really a lot of people for a women's game. And could feel like the French people were so excited to see their team playing and to finally start that World Cup. So I think the atmosphere was really, really good. We had the La Ola waves through the stadium, and especially because France won and they scored so many nice goals, it was, of course, yeah, really, really positive.
Are you in pre-season at the moment? You start soon?
Yeah, I'm in. I have my own individual program at home. We start with the team on 22nd of July. So
you got 20 days. Yeah.
3 weeks on my own, and then with the team.
What's it like doing that sort of pre-season stuff by yourself, knowing that you have to go back in only 3 weeks while watching a big tournament? Does it motivate you to do that? To
yeah, when you're definitely it? Watching all these games. I just want to play myself. I mean, the break has been good, but I'm excited and I'm happy that it's over and I can start running again. Of course, it's not fun to train on your own because that's why we do team sports. We want to train, play with others together. So yeah, but it's like that, and I enjoy being at home for that and being with my family. And then go running and getting ready for the preseason.
Are you excited for next season? I'm an Arsenal fan, so we've got a bit of beef. Obviously, we won the league last year. But yeah, what are you looking forward to for next season? Obviously, everyone's going to come back off a bit of a hype or off the World Cup. A lot of English players, hopefully, might come back.
Yeah,
with some hype.
That's true. No, I'm really excited for next season. I mean, last season was great for us. We won 2 cups. But we didn't win the championship, so the league. So that's going to be the main object for next season, to beat Arsenal and getting on that first place.
How's the league changed in the UK since you've been in it? Have you seen it grow in a very short amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, it's been lots of progression from many clubs. You can see that with United and Tottenham getting promoted in the first league this year, so you can feel like it's growing. And yeah, I hope that we can keep grow the women's game and get more people in the stadiums. And but I think football wise it's been really competitive, and that was really interesting for me.
What's been surprising for you this World Cup? Any players or teams in particular that you can think of?
I think what you could see is that Europe was really strong in this World Cup. I mean, 7 out of 8 teams in the quarterfinals were from Europe, so I think that was sometimes surprising. For example, Italy has never been that far in a major tournament, so some really exciting teams. And I've been very impressed by the USA, I have to say, the way and their style of playing. I think you can see progression from 2015, the World Cup, to now.
I've been asking this question to everyone pretty much. Sort of after the World Cup, there's a lot of media attention on it at the moment, and everyone's obviously very excited. But for it to progress, we'd like this to carry on after the World Cup. But as a player, what would you like to see change the most?
I think the biggest challenge is to get the people from these big events, from a World Cup where we have really good amount of people in the stadium, 40,000 people, or even a cup final, we had a lot of people, to get that every week in the league games, because that's still missing a little bit, I think, to have good kickoff times where people can come and watch. And I think, yeah, that's where we can still improve, to get the fans in the stadium and, yeah, show that we can play good football.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Paulina Bremer there, stopping by the clubhouse the other day.
Yeah.
I heard some crazy thing. I read some crazy thing. So in 2017, she broke her leg in a game versus Everton playing for Man City. And it took an hour for an ambulance to arrive for her to get. So it took longer for an hour to get to the hospital, but it took an hour for an ambulance to even get there to take her. Isn't that nuts?
That's a joke.
So I don't know if this is still a thing, but Man City's problem with the FA, because at the time they said, unlike the men's game, there was no rule stating that an ambulance had to be present at women's Super League matches.
That's dangerous as well.
I don't know if this has changed since then. But it has changed. We got the nod. But that's crazy that it was, what, 2 years? Not even 2 years ago.
That's insane. I know that, like, obviously, like, defibrillators are supposed to be present within a certain amount of distance, but, like, still having, like, any sort of, like, physical trained person for, like, resuscitative support on, like, you know, God forbid something actually happens that's not, like, a leg break.
Yeah.
Like, I broke my leg. And the hospital is just across the street, fortunately. But like, they put me on that like laughing gas stuff.
Yeah.
Because my leg was sticking straight out to the other direction. Oh, like, I remember looking down at it, and it looked like a slide at the park, you know, like you slide down it. And I remember when they went to go straighten it, because they can't put you on the like the stretcher or the gurney until they straighten it. So then I was like, wait, and took like five more hits of that like whatever like
what
stuff that made
through,
me go.
What was going through your head when you looked down? Were you just in complete shock, so you didn't really
grasp? Heard, like, if you've ever been to a baseball game and you hear, like, a wood bat hit a baseball, like, really hard, it's like a giant crack.
Yeah.
And then I looked down, and my leg was just sticking straight out. And that's when you sort of go into shock. But it's just, like, it's not the pain. It's just more of this idea that's a very unnatural thing, that you're looking down, and, like, your body is in a different shape than it was. Like, it's like, it feels like almost mutilated in a way that like your brain just can't process it. So it's like shock, but it's just like this pulsing, throbbing thing that it just kept feeling and feeling and feeling. And during that time, like your whole career that you wanted to have kind of just flashes constantly. You just feel so little control of just like anything, right? At that point in my life, I had pretty good control of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And then there was now this thing that I had no control over that I was going to have to like get through.
And was this a bad tackle or an awkward?
Oh yeah. I was made a near post run, flicked the ball and kept going. And the guy came in late, just straight two legs through it and just snapped it in half. There's I have it on camera. there's a video camera that was way, way up in the stadium, far away, and the sound on it was really poor, but when you hear the break, like, you can't hear sound, you can hear it, like, clear as day.
Wow. Like, did you ever, did the guy, whoever snapped your leg, did he ever talk to you after the...
No, apparently he had like apologized and whatnot at a certain point, but never to me. I don't remember anything. Like, he may have come over.
Yeah.
Like, people were freaking out. Like, I remember people were all freaking out because, like,
yeah, it's a horrific thing to
yeah,
say.
Like, but I never heard specifically from that guy after that day.
Interesting.
It's it's like every single match I played in my entire career, I thought about my leg break.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, not one match that I play in from that time on did I not have it in my head at some point in a match. Some movement would, like, trigger the thought of when I broke it.
Did you forever play cautiously after that? Did you play different from that point on? Or did you eventually get over it and
I got
back to yourself?
I think I got over it.
Yeah.
But... for example, anytime I found myself in the... I remember one of my first professional matches. It was a corner kick. I ran, made a near post run, and the ball was on my head. Like, any sort of connection with that ball, and it's a goal, and we win. And it's nil-nil. I had got freed up all this space on, like, a screen on the back post and made a near post run. And in my mind, it just froze.
Right.
And I was just like, get me out of here. And because it was the exact same run that I made where I had broken my leg.
Yeah.
And even though the ball was in the air and whatever, I just froze and I left the ball. And I remember a teammate of mine, Sky Francis, just screaming at me after, just going like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, finish it. Like, we had been grinding out a result. We had been sort of like knocking on the door for a bit.
Yeah.
And it was the best chance of the game. And I just froze and let the ball go and kind of just like left the space. It was such an unnatural thing to other people that was happening on it. But in my mind, I'm like, it was like a PTSD moment.
Yeah.
That was very, very bizarre. But yeah, like every game, I'd find myself in weird positions where it would just flash in my head. It didn't live in my head. It would just flash in my mind and couldn't get rid of it.
What about, okay, so if we do a role reversal here. So say you put in a bad tackle and you ended up breaking someone's leg by accident. I find it weird that the guy never spoke to you after. Would you sort of reach out to that person or would you not? Because it's just in the nature of the sport
totally.
That something might happen.
I mean, I've seen some. So there's like this Hristo Stoichkov was playing in MLS and they were doing a preseason game.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who Stoichkov is, he was like the Golden Boot winner at the 94 World Cup, I think it was, in the US. A Bulgarian player, played at Barcelona, like one of the best players, like probably 100 best players ever. He had like a wild moment, like a seeing red moment, and snap some college kid's leg off, like literally on purpose, went after him, broke him in half, and then it was like a lawsuit happening. But I know a couple other ones that happened in MLS of guys that I know breaking the legs of other guys that I know.
Yeah.
And just like the really, really traumatizing effect it had on the person who like had that like lashing out moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like multiple messages of just like, regret.
Yeah.
One guy's career was done. Like his career was done.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, and Stuart Holden, for example, got hit by Nigel de Jong and it ended his career. And I don't know if they ever talked about it, but like a nasty, nasty, like upper below the knee challenge that like literally ended his career.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen multiple times. So I don't think they always reach out to each other.
And you think those were done purely out of like frustration, despite not just misjudged tackles? Because surely if that's the case, that should be handled as like assault.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think it'd be, because some of them, the ones that were like the Stoichkov one, like he went after the guy. And then there was another one of literally had like a scrap happening, got up, ran, and just the two footed like lunge where it's where you're like a coiling a spring, you know, where that spring comes back and then just unleashes and straight through his leg. Like,
that's crazy.
Literally snapped him in half. And that was one that you're just like, heat of the moment, didn't get a foul. You could, you know, when you feel that tension happening where somebody's going to get kicked, it was like that, except that, like, again, it resulted in like just going straight through him and breaking him out.
When it's so intentional like that, you would have thought that there'd be more repercussions.
And maybe there was. Maybe there was a lawsuit.
There could
be things that follow up on that. I don't remember how that ended, but like if that happened to me and somebody had purposely done it in my, like, in a way that
like, so obvious.
Was so obvious. Yeah. I mean, the one that happened to me was obvious, but it was before I had played professionally.
Right.
So it wasn't in my professional career. Okay, so this was a year I was playing in like a summer league before our under 17 like World Cup. So
you were young when you broke.
Yeah, I was 16, okay. I think. Whereas like if it was in my professional career and the same thing happened, like I would have tried to, something would have had to happen because you now are at risk of like not earning up to your potential because of somebody else like being violent.
Yeah,
not because of like the wear and tear of playing the game, that sometimes you get injured or sometimes there's physical contact.
Yeah. We had a teammate, she broke her leg a couple of seasons ago in a game, but it was a weird one because she just landed awkwardly. And it's one of them. You're just like, this is such a freak. Obviously your body is jolting in such like harsh movements and different like turning so harshly and stuff, but she literally jumped, I think, in the penalty box, and she landed, one of her feet landed first, and I stood next to her, and I just heard this, and it was like,
this is a cringe episode we've turned this into. My hands are sweating, like I get like clammy thinking about this.
I first thought someone had hit someone's shin pad, that's what I thought it was, and then I turned around, I saw it drop, and I was like,
there's so many different ways in which like it can be a very, you know, we saw someone get stretched off yesterday. I think it was a head injury, or not yesterday, but in the Sweden match,
Sweden game,
yeah. Towards the end, and it was like 10 minutes to get them off, and it was in I think it was in extra time, but yeah, sometimes it's non-contact, sometimes it's contact, but it's just like any sport, there are sort of risks involved. Anytime you're pushing your body to the limit, and there's a competitive nature as well.
I saw a pretty, there was a tackle in that Netherlands-Sweden game where one of the Netherlands players flew quite far into the air. I think they both went up for a header, but yeah, the Swedish player came underneath her, so she kind of like twisted in the air, and one of her legs landed first, but her leg standing still, but her body twisted, and it's one of them ones where you watch and you're just like, oh,
yeah.
But like, and you know when you get a bad tackle or something, you feel something's not right, and then suddenly it's like, okay. But that's the initial like 0.01 second of panic, and then you look down, you're like, okay, it's okay.
Right. Yeah, it's, I'm like sweating.
Sweating?
I actually wasn't sweating so much in this episode until we got onto the old, went down old trauma lane.
This is
anything else you want to bring up? No, I brought that up.
How are your leggings doing?
But yeah.
Is that it? Is that what we have today?
That's all we have for today.
We'll come back on a brighter note next one. But it was kind of interesting to talk about that, I think.
Yeah.
I've never spoken to you about your injury before.
Yeah, so. No, I've had a few of them. It continues from
it
there.
It will continue.
Yeah. But that's it for today's Football Inside Out. We will be back tomorrow for another episode. And if you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, because we want to deliver you guys some daily podcasts.
Yeah, and you can get in touch with us as well.
The hashtag #Copa90InsideOut, you can send us voice notes and emails to footballinsideout@copa90.com. We'll share them on the show. We like sharing.
Yeah, I'm not here for tomorrow. I'm going back to London for a couple of days.
We'll miss you.
Yeah, I'll be back for the final though.
Will you have air conditioning while you're on?
Well, I won't need it because it'll be like 23 degrees. Be 23 degrees.
That sounds amazing. But yeah, we'll have Chelsea Grimes filling in while you're gone.
Yes.
A couple episodes, and then you'll be back for the final.
I'll be back just in time for that.
For the encore.
The encore, exactly. Right.
Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
This is a We Are Great production for Copa90.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.